So I'm going to talk today about focus and several other things here, lids, doors, seasons, fulfillment of words to come. I'm going to talk about consistency, patience. And let me start with a little bit about, you know, one of the things I was thinking about doing with the kids is taking a jar and saying if we had fleas in the bottom of, how many of you have seen that in a motivational speech where they take a jar and they said if there's fleas in this jar, they could jump out? Nobody's seen that? Well, some of you, because I taught it forever. But so I double-checked on that and to get my information right. And the theory was that if you had a jar with fleas, they could actually jump out of that jar. But if you put a lid on it and they hit their heads a few times, you can take the lid off then and they won't jump out anymore because they don't want to hit their heads. That's not exactly true. It takes them a little while that they won't jump, but after a while they'll try it again and then they'll get out. By the way, you say, how far can a flea jump? Well, a flea is pretty small, 1/8 inch at the most if you could see them, you know. And I remember when we used to, my brother would be skinning a fox and you could see the fleas jumping off. Yeah, it's kind of creepy. But anyway, a flea can jump about 8 inches or so, but let's put it this way. If you could jump like a flea, you could jump 900 feet high. They jump 100 to 150 times their height. Man, isn't that mind-blowing? But the thought is, if you keep hitting your head, you'll get to where you won't do it. There's many other illustrations about this. You know, you can tie a baby elephant to a tree with a rope. And as he grows bigger, you know, he can't break it. As he grows bigger, the idea is then you could actually have that same rope. He's big enough now to bust it, but he doesn't think he can. So he's still trapped in his mind of where he was as a little bitty elephant. And a lot of those things, you know, are they're really true. And it's also for us. So I want to read to you, first of all, out of Matthew 17, it says this. And while they were gathered together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And he will be raised on the third day. And they were deeply grieved. Now, isn't this interesting? Jesus is sitting there talking to his disciples, and he just lays it out, just black and white, no parable, no super clear. They're going to kill me. And the disciples were deeply grieved. Have you ever had the word of the Lord come to you about a trouble that was coming in your life? You know, it's a little while, I remember once I heard, several times in my life, I said, you know, I've had the Spirit of the Lord said, trouble ahead. Some of my trips, when I went to Singapore about 3 or 4 years ago, I remember the Lord said, there's going to be a difficult time in this trip, but it's going to be a very profitable trip. Well, it ended up, I ministered on Saturday and got into the taxi cab, and just boom, all of a sudden my body just went and it was gone, man. It was just no strength. So I couldn't preach on Sunday morning. That's a difficult thing for me to fly all the way over there and not get to preach. But what I shared that Saturday morning and what I shared with other people turned out to be extremely profitable. It set some people free. And actually, I preached that morning, or I taught at a seminar on doors, open doors. You know, and Kim's wife, I saw for sure, just was able to step right through an open door and step into stuff she had never stepped in before. And I'm and watching since, she just became a powerful little preacher. You know, so there's times, and I will say this, not every word that you get that there's going to be trouble is from God. And there's friends of mine who have said, man, they got into their car to travel, and the Lord said to them, don't go. There's problems ahead. Don't go. Wait here 15 minutes. The man shared it with his wife and said, I kind of got a check in my heart that, or his wife said, I don't remember. But anyway, one of them shared it and the other one just said, well, let's just use our faith and go. And so they just confessed everything is going. And they ended up being in a car wreck and being in the hospital. It pays to listen to them. But how do you know if it's of God or not? Well, one thing I asked the Lord once, I said, how do I know if you tell me that there's trouble ahead? How do I know if it's you or the devil? He says, if it's me, I'll always tell you about the way. I'm going to tell you there's a way out of it. If it's the devil, he won't tell you there's a way out of it. He'll just say, you're just going to hit it and nothing's. God will always deliver you from all your troubles. But he will clue you in sometimes that there's trouble coming. And so as you just shared, you know, be attentive, you know, listen to him. Don't be afraid if he says this is not good. I can tell you a dozen stories of people that heard from the Lord about, you know, either not flying or not driving or not going to this particular meeting. So, but in this situation, I think it's interesting to take a look and say, here's Jesus speaking the truth, and he says, they're going to kill me. And they were deeply grieved. But why did they miss those words in between? And I will be raised on the third day. I will be raised. It's like they didn't even see it. They definitely didn't believe it. I don't know if they even heard it. Because if I told you I was going to die in 3 days, or, you know, I was going to die this week, you might be grieving a little bit. Maybe you'd be rejoicing. I don't know. But if I said, I'm going to be back in 3 days, don't let them embalm me. don't bury me early. Let me hang around in the cooler because I'm coming back. I don't know, but I don't think I'd be grieved. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be just golly, how cool would that be? I'd volunteer. I'll die and come back in 3 days. I think it'd be a heck of an experience. But they were just deeply grieved. And Isaiah says this, in Isaiah 28:16, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a tested stone, a cornerstone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. And he's talking about Jesus, right? He who believes in him will not be disturbed. Paul quotes this in Romans, and the New American Standard says he will not be disappointed or put to shame. But this Hebrew word disappointed means he who believes in Jesus will not be in a hurry. This is so powerful and so profound. As a young minister, the Lord took me to this. And when as a young minister, I was, there are people that say, man, I just like to go watch John because he's kind of lit in the middle and the outside and the top and the bottom. And he's just fun to watch burn up. He's just on fire. And I was, Elise and I, we were going for it. Man, we were preaching full gospels. We were doing Bible study. We were seeing miracles. We were just dreaming big dreams and believing for big things. And boy, I tell you what, we didn't win every battle, but we didn't quit. I remember when we were just looking to find a place to build or to rent a building. It was horrible here in Sturgis trying to find a place to meet. Man, we met in a little glass shop that was just terrifying. Kids had to walk through a room this size just full of glass shards. And they went to a little building to have children's church, and there was no heat in it, so at least they'd have to go in there high. I mean, we were dressing up in those days. Some of you remember that? She actually wore high heels, walk across on the ice to get to that little building, start a wood fire, and there was no water, there was no toilet, and so if a kid says, I got to go to the bathroom, she just said, no, you don't. No, you don't. I can't take you across the street and leave all you there's right. Oh, man, it's a bar now, you know. But anyway, we were just believing God, but we weren't winning every match. But we didn't quit. But we believed that we would not be disappointed. But this scripture came to me in the midst of all that somebody who believes in Jesus will not be in a hurry. And so people, because we were going for it, so if anybody came up with an idea to do something, if they wanted to bring somebody in to sing, if they wanted to have a big meeting, they'd say, go talk to John. He'll do it. And they'd come and they'd present their idea. And I think they just thought I would just jump in whatever they had, any idea they had. And I said, well, now let me think about it. Let me pray about that. Let me do some, And I remember one guy, he came with an idea, and he didn't come to our church. He went to the Methodist church, but his son went to our church. And then he had some idea, and I just kind of poo-hooed it a little. I mean, it wasn't poo-hooed. I just said, well, let me sit on that, and let me think about it. And he went to his son and said, I don't know about your pastor. I thought he's on fire, but, it just seems like he doesn't want to do anything unless the Holy Ghost is really telling him to do it. And he thought that was a criticism. But this thing started being embedded in me about not being in a hurry. And I've watched it ever since. People just want to have their ministries grow, their churches grow, and let's do this and let's do that. And I remember one pastor came into town, and I was just barely started. We were in a glass shop, and nobody wanted us. Nobody recognized us hardly, but a few people that were hurting. And he came into town, and boy, he was tearing it up. And he says, man, I'm going to get rid of the devil in this place, and I'm going to get everybody healed. And I actually went to God and said, do I need to stick around, or should I go someplace else? Because he's going to do it all. And he said, don't you ever do that to me again. Don't you ever say that to me again. What I called you to do, you stay faithful to it. You do not get pushed. You do not worry about what somebody else is going to do. What is that to you? You follow me. And within 6 months, that pastor was leaving town with debt and disgruntled people. And he said, what if you would have quit? Because he came in boasting and you would have quit. He said, do you just stay faithful to what I felt? And don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry to be so successful. Don't be in a hurry for just trying to make everything happen. So I want to talk a little bit about just being focused in versus being obsessed. When you're focused on something, you look at it clearly. You look at it in peace. You're looking for purpose. You're looking for energy. You're flexible about it, and you have self-control. But if you're obsessed with something, you're driven, you're fixated, you're controlled by tension and irritability. When somebody just says, I'm going to get this, I'm going to win this, I'm going to do this, I ain't going to... And you can get so obsessed with it that you don't see anything else. It's like the disciples, when they heard Jesus speak that he was going to die, from that point on, they didn't hear anything else. They were obsessed with this. Oh, no, you can't die. And Peter even got before Jesus and said... no, you're not going to do that. And Jesus had to look at Peter and just said, get behind me, Satan. Don't be taking me off my target. People can get obsessed about many things. They can get obsessed about... I went golfing with a guy once, and he just paired us up, and I was hacking out there, like I did, and he was a pretty good golfer, and we got, sat in his golf cart, and we started talking about golf. And I said, man, I've enjoyed it. I'm not very good. He said, well, I got pretty good at it. I said, yeah? Yeah, he says, I worked really, really hard at it. He said, so hard that I lost my wife and my kids. He said, I got so obsessed with golf that I lost my family. Man, I tell you, that was a moment in the cart for me and for him both. You can get obsessed with something, and sometimes sometimes the devil or others or your own ambitions and your own insecurities will cause you to want to just, it's like you be called a chicken or a failure, like, I'm going to show them. I'm telling you, that's not a really good attitude to have. I'm going to show them. I mean, it may motivate you, it may get you going, it might make you more successful, but it is going to cause you to be obsessed with something. It's going to cause you to lose self-control. It's going to cause you to get so focused on that one little thing that you're not thinking clearly and that you overlook everything else, and your life will end up a disaster when you're trying to prove a point. You need to know who you are in Christ before anything and be at peace with that. And you're already a success. You've already won. You've already received the championship. Now just live it out. Because of Jesus, you're already successful. But if you don't know that, if you don't know that's the truth for you right now, then you could get obsessed with something to try to prove that you are. And a lot of times you'll get all kinds of encouragement from other people, even other Christians trying to, way out of way, that or don't ever get, you know, I mean, some of the same words to encourage you will actually bury you because you're not stepping back and staying in peace. Focus doesn't mean you're obsessed. Focus means you have the intent to listen and to be obedient. And you stay consistent. You stay consistent with that. In Ezekiel 12, it says this, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, what is this proverb you people have concerning the land of Israel, saying, the days are long and every vision fails?" Boy, there's times that feels that way, doesn't it? I'm going to just throw this in, but I remember I was down in Las Vegas going to a seminar on how to make money on the stock market. And the guy got up and was talking to us about puts and calls. And he says, you know, if you want to do it this way, he says, it'll really work and you can make a really good living. It's guaranteed. But he says, you'll have way more failures than you will successes. But your failures will be small and your successes will be big. I almost jumped out of my seat and said, hallelujah. I thought, my whole life is full of failure. Full of failure. Endeavor after endeavor that didn't work out. My losses way exceed my wins. But just like he was saying, my losses have been minimal. My wins are huge. I'm a child of God, joint heir with Jesus, owner of all things, going to walk with him forever and ever. Hallelujah. And even in the natural, I've lost more money than I thought I'd ever make. I don't even know how that happens. But God has been faithful, taking us all around the world, giving us a brand new building. Man, I'll probably never say another bad word about insurance companies that they take our, you know, because we'll never pay enough dividend, you know, payments to pay for this. God bless me and you. We're winners. We've already won. If you don't know that, though, again, you could get out there and try to prove it. And so this is what they were saying about Israel. The days are long and every vision fails. Therefore, say to them, thus saith the Lord, I will make this proverb cease so that they will no longer use it as a proverb in Israel. May I just say that there's some things that I heard. I probably said a few of them. I had friends that said it. It's like, the old hee-haw song, if I had no bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And we say these jokes and we say these things, but actually they can start getting embedded into us. I never win anything. I'm never chosen and all that. And that's like this. It's like, and I can honestly say a lot of those things that wanted to take hold of my life and our lives, we can now say those proverbs are gone. We don't say that stuff anymore. We don't say that stuff anymore. We don't believe that stuff anymore. No, we're going to be at the right place at the right time. He's going to deliver us from all our enemies. We're going to have trouble. We're not naive. We're not stupid. We're not saying whenever. Man, that's... But he promises you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have troubles, but I'll deliver you out of most of them. All of them. Man, it's so good to know the word of God and know the truth. So it goes on to say, but tell them the day draws near as well as the fulfillment of every vision. Story after story of people who didn't give up that came into the greatest things that they ever could have imagined because they didn't give up. And every one of them was tempted right at the last to give up. hope, faith, and peace, and intent in our life consistently will bring us to the victory every time. Luke 22 says this, "For I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For that which refers to me has its fulfillment." And he told them to get some swords, and they say, "Hey, look, here's two swords," and he said, "It's enough." Jesus is just about going to the cross, and he said, "This word concerning me has to be fulfilled. I have to be numbered with the transgressors. I have to die, but I will be back in 3 days." What a great attitude for us to know that what he says about us will come to pass. Genesis 15:16 says this, "Then in the fourth generation they return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete." Galatians says this, So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elementary things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. We have the nature of God in us. We're adopted sons that get the nature of God. But there is this principle throughout Scripture, throughout life, just like the Amorites, he just said, their sin and their time is not yet fulfilled. You know what we do? We want to get in a hurry. And we want to judge somebody before their time. We want to look at the circumstances of some of the people around us, and we want to say, "Get them, God, get them now." And he said, no, their time of sin is not fulfilled yet. In other words, there's still time for them to repent. It hasn't come to the point of fulfillment. It hasn't filled up. There's times and sequences in the Spirit of God and in the natural life. There are seasons, there are things that have to be fulfilled before they can be finished. When you are in a hurry, you want to rush all that stuff. You want the victory immediately, and you want the penalty and the justice to come to other people immediately. But those of us who believe in Jesus, and we are the ones who are not judging the servant of another, but we're believing that they're going to come around. And even people that we know they're doing evil things, hurting people, we stand faithful to pray for them that the repentance in their life may come and the change may come. But we need to understand this, that sometimes when we're believing for something, the fulfillment of that time has not come. To be honest, I thought we'd have that building sold before now. I really did. But every time I go before my Father, this is what I hear. I said I would take care of the building. You take care of the people. Yeah, okay. And even this morning driving by, I just said, I kind of think it's time. And he says, even this morning, he says, because I already knew we'd been preparing this, he said, when the fulfillment time comes, it'll always be worth waiting for it. Don't be in a hurry. I'm telling you, this is a really good practical word. Because if you get in a hurry, you're going to get fearful. You're going to get anxious. You're going to get obsessed. I don't know why. I keep seeing this picture, so I'm just going to say it. I keep seeing a lady in front of her doing her dishes, and her husband is in the car waiting for her to go someplace, and she is obsessed that she's got to get every dish done and put away before they can leave. I don't know why I'm saying that. It's not a condemning, but it's just an example. But there are some situations in your life right now that you're just getting obsessed with. And you need to step back and just say, I need to think a little bit more clearly about this. Dirty dishes in the sink will not send you to hell. but they may send you to divorce court. And that applies to a whole lot more than dirty dishes, okay? I don't think there's anybody probably dealing with that, but some other things close to it. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 2:6 says, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved, with the result that they always fill up the measure of their sins, but the wrath has come upon them to the utmost. Again, just another scripture saying there's this thing about filling up to the measure of their sins or their faithfulness. The key to your life and my life really is consistency, which is biblical terms are steadfastness, sound-mindedness, standing. When you're in a hurry, you want to do the get out of the boat and walk on the water thing. And some of that is faith. Peter did have faith, but part of it was, listen, that's not the story for everyday life. A story for everyday life is stay faithful, stay steady, stay consistent. Literally, in the natural realm, we'd be teaching this. I would be teaching with the word, your habits are going to control the outcome of your life. So if you want to have an outcome change, change your habits. And just like the little bird in the cage, I'm 70 years old. There's some things embedded in me. There's some things that are just solid as a rock in me. And some of those things I'm taking a hammer to and said, this needs to change. I need some new habits. I need to be more consistent in this area. I need to let go of, well, the dirty dishes don't bother me. But there are other things. Romans 2:4 says this, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? This is so powerful that God's patience or his steadfastness, his persistent kindness, his persistent tolerance, his looking for the end goal and not just the immediate, his patience with us, he's patient with the time schedules. He waited how many thousands of years to get Jesus, and Jesus came, what? At the right time. But there is thousands of years before that, there people say, come Lord Jesus now. We need our Messiah now. And yet it's at the perfect timing. When you believe God, when you trust in him, it brings this peace, it brings this confidence that you and you keeps you from being obsessed with trying to make something happen that is not supposed to happen right then. Boy, this applies to your finances, applies to your marriages, it applies to everything. You try to fix a marriage in 2 seconds, you're gonna send the people away. There's times when people come to me and say, man, our marriage is really struggling. And part of it, I want to say, well, let her go. What? Let her go. If she wants to leave, let her go. Why would you say that? Because your obsession to keep her is driving her away. She wants somebody confident, somebody at peace. Or he. Hallelujah. Leave that alone. Galatians 4 says this, so also, while we were children, we were held in bondage under elementary things of the world. And again, when you don't see things clearly, you're going to be like the disciples. Jesus is going to speak the truth to you. I'm going to die, but I'm going to raise in 3 days. And you won't hear that I'll be raised in 3 days. You'll function with the elementary principles that everybody else is saying. Boy, when people got their common little sayings that they say all the time, like everything could go bad, will go bad, da-da-da-da. Man, if you're going to live by that, I tell you, we've been delivered from that. We live in a different realm. We don't have to flip-flop every time the circumstances. You pray for your healing and you believe it, and all of a sudden, man, the pain's gone. You go, praise God, I got it. And about 4 hours later, the pain's back. And you go, oh, I lost it. No, you didn't. Your healing is eternal. It never changes. You were healed when Jesus died on that cross, and you've been healed, and you're going to be healthy all the rest of your life. You're eternal. That's the truth. The circumstances are just trying to buffalo you out of what you got. But if you look at just the elementary principles, you look at just your circumstances right now. How many of you just about lost it in your teenage years when your first true love left you? I remember talking to a guy, and I said something to him. I said, wow, that girl, she's got a power. She's got a power. And I forget how the conversation went now, but it was kind of like, yeah, he says, I dated her for a while. I said, you did? Oh, I said, she's hot. He goes, yeah. She said, when I broke up with him, with her, or she broke up with me, she says, I just about didn't want to live. And then he said, and the next guy didn't. And this is in our high school. And the next guy she broke up with took his life. And now some of us that are older are saying, whew, we barely escaped. Somebody said, could you go, if you wanted to go back in time, would you go back in time and live your teenage? No, no, no. It was a great time. I enjoyed myself, had a lot of fun. Don't want to do it again. Been there, done that. All I'm saying, that's so true about everything else in our life, not just those kind of things, but how many things that we just got so panicky because it didn't look good and it wasn't feeling good and everything seemed to be going and nothing seemed to be going right. And God's saying, listen, just stay steady and consistent and the vision will come to pass in the right time. When you accept that, peace comes into your life. Joy comes back and now you're... When a kid is obsessed or anybody is obsessed, you can't coach them, you can't counsel them, you can't instruct them because they're just obsessed and they've got the, it's like their time factor totally goes out. Just a few more minutes and I'll be done. 6 hours later, they're still not done. It's just not healthy. It's so healthy just to say, I believe in Jesus and he said, I will not be disappointed and I don't have to be in a hurry and everything will come to pass when it should. It said, but when the fullness of time came, when the fullness of time came, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born underneath the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive his adoption as sons at the right time, praise God. And now we're just like our father, and we're fully assured that what he had promised, he will keep. Amen. 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 God bless you. It's coming to pass. Amen.